Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use. I'm your host, Ann Baldwin, with you today. And boy, have we got a guest and a show for you. So anyway, we have real names, but I prefer to go by Glamaw. And what's your name?
Gigi for Gorgeous Grandmother.
All right. That's how we're going to start this show off. This is going to be one that you will not want to miss. I am so excited. Lisa N. Kanoki is in the house.
Yay. Excited to be here with you, Ann Baldwin.
Oh, my gosh. It's so great to have you here. And, you know, it's kind of funny how life works, isn't it? Because we've known each other for a long time.
Yes.
And one of the good things about Facebook is I keep up with you and you keep up with me. And recently we reconnected in person.
That's right. And we're both grandmothers now because when we first met, we were not Glamma and Gigi for sure.
Hell no, we weren't. We certainly weren't. But we had to work for that. And I'm so excited because I've got some great news. I was recently out in Texas and my daughter I have a 10-year-old granddaughter and she just revealed to me when I was out there that she's going to have another baby.
Oh, yes. My God. Another baby. I love it. I love being a Gigi, a grandma. It's just fabulous. And it's our legacy. We're passing on down something here. People that look like us, of course.
Of course. Yes. Too bad this isn't television. It's radio. Lisa, I've got your two-page resume in front of me. And, I mean, it's just amazing all that you have accomplished and all that you continue to do. And, you know, I just want you to introduce yourself to the audience. Pick some of the highlights because we take up the whole show reading all of your accomplishments out loud. So I'm going to let you cut to the chase.
Well, I'll tell you one of the things I'm most excited about that I'm working on right now, besides being a full-time Gigi and raising some of my grandkids, who, by the way, the oldest one just turned 18.
Woo!
Just turned 18. And my youngest is still a toddler, so, you know.
Wow, that's
a lot. I'm sticking with the teenagers right now, though, you know, keeps you up to date. But obviously, some of the other things that I'm working on that I'm very excited about is the Swans of Harlem. They are the original five black ballerinas who actually, a few of them, helped to find the dance seat of Harlem upon the assassination of Martin Luther King, along with Arthur Mitchell. And I'm very excited to kind of reinvigorate everything that they've done in history. We just recently got a book deal with Pantheon. So I'm very excited for them. And we're about to sign a movie deal about their life story.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited. This is their act three. They range in age from 65 to 80 and they never expected this. So I am like on the rocket ship with them and excited to take off. So
oh my gosh.
We just got back from Philadelphia.
I
so
saw
it's been
that.
Exciting.
I yes, saw that on Facebook. Yes. And I saw that you were there. Lots of media coverage. Thank goodness.
Lots
thank
of red
goodness
carpet.
That they understood that this is a big story to tell.
Big story. And also the women were out there giving master classes, college classes, high school classes. I'm just excited that they're great women. They're treasures. They're gems. They're just really great to work with. So I love the fact that, you know, that someone like this group of ladies gets to have their real flowers given to them in a way that they could truly appreciate it. And we've had everybody kind of call about their life story from Steven Spielberg. I'm telling you this here. I'm not supposed to tell anybody. But we were able to have him call in. We had Misty Copeland. We had Jada Pinkett Smith. Oh, my goodness. What a week for them. Everybody that was up for the Oscars, I feel like, was on a phone call with these ladies about trying to get a piece or learn about doing their life story. So we're very blessed, very, very blessed.
That's great. And you're also a well-known and well-established life coach.
Yes.
So, you know, you kind of do what I do, but we're very different, right? You help people straighten out their lives, especially in high-end divorce cases and custody cases and things like that. And I'm more grassroots public relations, crisis communication, but yet our paths cross there, too, because it takes the same thing. And I can't imagine. I want you to explain how you were feeling when you were there in Philadelphia with these ladies and getting all this media attention. Is that not what you call a touchdown?
It's a touchdown. And I think, once again, the fact that people receive these women, the first night it was a red carpet gala you might have seen on my Facebook and on my Instagram Live. We did hair and makeup and got them red carpet ready. And they were shocked to know there were like 350 people waiting on the other side to cheer them on and welcome them. And they people were just like adoring. They were like, thank you for, almost like veterans, thank you for your service. Right. Thank you for everything you did. Thank you for your challenges that you had to go through for us. I heard one of the dancers tell me there was a lady that was serving that actually said that when she was younger, she wanted to be a dancer. And somebody told her, you're not the body type for that. And she had to give up. And she said tears were coming down her eyes as she was just saying, you know, you were able to do something that people didn't let me do. So, I mean, when you hear those kind of heartfelt mm-hmm. stories or people actually crying, you realize that it's bigger than just, you know, these women don't think of themselves as superstars. I always tell them, yes, you are superstars. So, and they are. But I think to have people reach out and touch them in that way feels so special. And they know what they did was their artistic, if you will, kind of their silent protest in artistry. Mm-hmm. And people don't think of it that way. They think, oh, well, they were just dancers. No.
No.
They were doing things that people didn't think that black ballerinas could do at that time.
And here we are now, just now, finding out and telling their story.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes. And also, they weren't just in America. They went all over the world. Another little story, I don't know if I told you this, but the way I became their manager was one of them was my pen pal from when I was little.
What?
Yes, that's how I actually connected with them. My mom was an opera singer and a teacher and very well known here in the greater Hartford community. And she actually said to me, you're going to go see the Dance Studio of Harlem at the Bushnell in Hartford. I did not want to go that day, but I had no choice. I was being a good girl, but I was always a make a lemon lemonade out of lemons kind of kid.
Right.
So after my mother said, oh, we're going to go backstage, and I thought, whoopee-doo. But anyways, I was probably 12, 13, went backstage and saw these beautiful black women who had just performed. And I asked one, I said, would you want to be my pen pal? And she said, yes, never saw them before in my life. And believe it or not, this young lady, whose name is Carlia Shelton, now Benjamin, actually said, sure. And you know what? She sent me postcards from all over the world, starting with her command performance for the Queen. You talk about learning about social studies and history. I loved the Jackson Five at the time. Dance Theater of Harlem became second to Jackson Five. I still have every postcard that she sent me. A gilded, like gold gilded postcard. I can remember it from her command performance for the Queen Mother. I have all those postcards and letters. So we reconnect 40 years later.
Did you write her back?
Yes, I did write her back.
I remember, I think we all at in our age,
yes,
right, group, we all had pen pals. That
yes.
That was the cool thing to do. But for me, you know, after a month or two, I'm like, that was fun for a month or two. And then it just kind of stops. But hats off to you and to her as well for keeping this thing
is
going.
Is that crazy?
That's
and
a
so
great story.
We just talked. And I said, why do we always talk on social media? Why don't we talk? Because I think we miss the art of talking,
yes,
the art of writing to people, sharing mm-hmm. time. So that's how we reconnected about 2 years ago. And she said, hey, I'm doing something with my former colleagues. Would you like to get on and do a Zoom with us? And they actually started by meeting during COVID, doing weekly Zoom calls. I got on a Zoom call, listened to them, and they said, hey, could you be our consultant? And I thought, does that mean no money? But anyways,
those are the words you don't want to hear. Yeah, it's really going to be fun, but
know,
we can't pay you.
I know, but I got on and I listened to them. And one of their things was about how everybody thought Misty Copeland was the first black ballerina and how she had done wonderful, you know, for the ballet similar to Tiger Woods for golf.
Right.
But how they were forgotten and they were some of the trailblazers.
They were first.
Yeah. So I started, and there were other people before them, but they were really the first to put it on the map worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I kept listening and I thought, let's do something. So that's how first the New York Times story came out, and then I was able to get ABC and then the speaking engagement in Philly, and the rest it just started going. And then we got to do Misty Copeland in Boston in December, and having them meet Misty Copeland in person for the first time was so wonderful, and it was healing for them as it was for Misty, and she was so gracious. And then she's also been in contact with us since. So it's just been, it's been a blessing, and I think just because all the stars align and their energy is good. So I'm really grateful. We have a great literary agent. We have a great Hollywood agent. And we have a great partner now in our Pantheon as the book publisher. So
fantastic.
Stay tuned. So,
well,
that's a big one.
You know, congratulations, because
yes,
I know the work that goes into that.
Yes.
And your enthusiasm is just contagious. And if you're like me, when you get one of those projects to work on and it hits you in the heart,
yeah,
it makes it so much easier.
Yes.
You still want to get paid.
Yes.
But But I know that everything you do, you put your heart and your soul
oh,
into.
Oh, yeah. And you have to go on faith. I mean, there was nothing. So it wasn't like we had a budget to work with. There was no budget. But I had the vision and the heart from listening to them every week. They had such high highs and low lows mm-hmm. in terms of their experiences. And the truth was there. Always the truth. So I just felt like I wanted to be a quarterback and a cheerleader for them. And that's really what happened, you know, just kind of plundering around. But I was laughing. We were in Philly and they were saying, "You're quiet. Are you giving us another assignment?" Because it was like we had so many appearances to make. They were exhausted, but grateful, very grateful and gracious. And like I said, the Philadelphia Ballet was wonderful. The Philadelphia community is wonderful. So that's one of my highlights right now. And I mean, we keep on creating, keep on reinventing and doing things. So we'll stay tuned for
that's
a couple
what you
more.
Do. But you're so busy. So how did Lisa and I reconnect? And again, we're talking with Lisa Ann Kanoki. And give people your social media stuff right now so they can, if you don't have it
yes.
right now, they can look you up on Facebook.
Yes,
you're
Facebook,
on all the platforms.
Adventures with Gigi. You can find me. I started that because of my grandkids. That's how I kind of connect with them. Because, you know, they tell us that Facebook is for old people.
Oh, yeah.
They
yep.
say that.
They're
and
gone.
I tell them, not exactly, because I don't feel old, but that's okay. And then on Twitter, it's I think it's Gigi and at Gigi and Kanoki on Twitter. And Facebook is my name. And then I also have Lisa and Kanoki Lifestylist to the Stars. And then my own YouTube channel. You know, it's there. You'll find it.
You'll find it. Yes.
Yes.
You've got
to find the good, the bad, the boring, and whatever else. And
that's right. It's all out there.
It's all out there. So you kind of take it. But anybody that really knows me knows, you know, where it's at. So,
well, I know one of our regular listeners is Lou Brown.
Oh, we love
yeah.
Lou. Do you know Lou? Actually, true story about Lou Brown. Lou Brown, I'm telling our dates here. I actually started at WHNB Channel 30 back in like 1973.
What?
Doing What About Women and Black Perspective sometimes. And Lou Brown actually was working there. So he saw me when I was 11 and 12 and actually hosting and co-hosting shows at Channel 30.
That's amazing.
Yes, before I went to work for Toby Moffat on Capitol Hill, and then Norman Lear at 18, and so on and so forth. So Lou Brown has known me pretty much my entire life. And my other bestie, his brother, Bob Brown, is my other guy. I actually met him through Tim Shriver working on Special Olympics. So I know the Brown
it's fun. So we love
good.
You, Lou, if you're listening.
Hey,
we,
Lou.
We wanted to mention that.
Yes.
And for those of you that are right now Googling Lisa, I want to make sure you know how to spell her last name, because you think it's hard to spell, it's hard to say. So let's spell it out. It's Lisa, regular spelling, NKONOKI. So
yes.
Lisa and my lives came back together recently because we're working on a project together, and we took a little business trip, a business ride down
yes.
to the Bridgeport area, and we talked.
Stanford, Greenwich, that's it.
Oh my gosh, we covered the whole
stomping ground. Just realized I've done some fun stuff with the divorce coaching, but with it comes, you know, some ugliness, a lot of different challenges. So it's not everything it's cracked up to be, because obviously it's a critical time in people's lives.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes you get dragged into the mud.
You do.
But you have to take the good with the bad.
You do. You
I've
do.
Been fortunate.
But well, you've got some thick skin, and, you know, sometimes you provide success for people and you help them reach their goals. And, you know, is anybody ever happy? Is anybody ever satisfied?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, any of the cases that I helped to work on or strategize, we're 10 for 10. But again, you know, sometimes I call them crying Karen. Sometimes people aren't always happy. What can you say?
Yeah.
You know, but I can tell you one thing. The teams that I've worked on have helped amass over a quarter of a million dollars, which is a quarter of $1 billion. So I wouldn't be crying, but that's okay.
No wonder you're working on the Gold Coast. Maybe I should head down there, right? So one of the things that we were talking about is being grandmothers
yes.
from different worlds, but we've got so many similarities and kind of what we're dealing with, if you want to just put it out there.
Yeah.
And one of those things is, you know, a biracial, multiracial, now that's what a lot of kids are, children.
Yes.
And as Glammy
yep.
and Gigi. We are both dealing with interracial.
Yes, biracial,
multiracial
children.
Not so much my grandchild,
yes.
who isn't, but then her father has remarried
yep.
an African-American woman and had three kids. So she's got three
Yes. It's a blended family.
It's a blended family.
A true blended family. Oh my gosh. Not just blended in terms of different parents and grandparents and all that, but you're talking about different nationalities. You're talking about different ethnicities. And how do you cope with that? How do you deal with that? How do you not have to be, you know, overwhelmed by the idea that people are always asking questions? And in particular, I have, 15 grandchildren. Let's see, 11 of them that are here all the time with me that are actually my daughters and my son's children. And most of them are biracial or identify as biracial or black. And I will tell you, people always, what are you?
Yes.
I have a granddaughter who works, I won't say where she works at, but recently I went into the location she worked at and everybody said, who's that? And she's like, oh, that's my grandma. And they look like, that's your grandma? Like, not that's your grandma, like she looks good. Like, that black lady is your grandma? Because she looks, you know, very fair skin. And she says, oh, yeah, that's her. And they were still in shock. And then the next week my son went in. And she said, they said, well, what does your dad look like? He says, oh, he's a rapper. And she shows them and they're like, that's your dad? And he just turned 40 last week. My son just turned 40. And they said, and he doesn't look 40. Mm-hmm. So they're like, that's your dad. He's a rapper and he's your dad? Like, what? And she's getting a kick out of it because she says, oh, yeah, go ask him for his autograph. But again, people are still like, well, I thought you were maybe... I didn't know what you were. Like, I thought maybe you were Puerto Rican or so you're one of them. They get all these different things. And then she said, they're like, oh, so you're rich. Oh, so you're, she's like, I'm not any of those things. I am me. Right. I am Michaela. And it's interesting because people always stop her. Or they think based on her hair or based on her skin color. They just assume. And oh, by how she talks. And so it gets, you know, she takes it in stride because obviously we talk about it, but it ends up being the center of the conversation instead of learning about who she is.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, you know, and here's a real startling story that I'm going to share with you. So my granddaughter is 10, and about 5 years ago, so she's five, I was out there visiting, and her father, who had remarried, she was about to have a baby, and again, she's African-American, and her father's white. So I said, you know what she's having? And she goes, no, I don't think they're going to find out. But she said in her innocent little voice, you know, it's going to be a brown baby.
Yeah.
It's going to be a brown baby.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I respond to that? How do I react to that?
Yeah.
You know, what do you do? I mean, he's not my grandchild, but he's my grandchild's. And I call him brother.
That's right.
It's not a stepbrother to me.
No.
It's not, or a half brother.
No.
I mean, it's her brother.
Yeah. Remember I tell you that story about my granddaughter wrote about this. My father-in-law used to say, his father said, he said, oh, it's my half brother. He said, well, which half of them are you claiming? And that's that my granddaughter learned from there.
Right.
They're my brothers. They're my... You know, and I have step bonus children, and they're, I hate to even say step, because they're not step. They're bonus, they're gifts, they're yours. Whether they think they're a part of it or not, I always want them to feel inclusive. So you hate saying that half brother, half.
Right.
It's just, you know.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So that's the other thing, and it happens to be I have lots of grandchildren, of course, and I have them in different situations. My granddaughter had other biracial children who look like her, but she was raised with her mother in a white environment. So she was raised white, but then she only had siblings all these years for the first 13 years of her life that were biracial like her. Her mom just recently had two other children that are white, and she kind of feels betrayed in a sense because she feels like she was put in the situation. Not that she's not proud of herself as being biracial, but she kind of feels like her siblings will never know, the younger ones, the all-white siblings, will never know some of the challenges that she had to go through where, you know, people maybe made comments, racial comments or otherwise, that were very insulting and mm-hmm. confusing to her. Mm-hmm. Her hair is different and curly, and she was always, you know, her maternal family didn't always highlight in a positive way her paternal family. So she was almost ashamed of that.
Right.
And she felt like she was the only one who had to go on that journey on her own. So it wasn't pretty.
No.
And she's still kind of gathering herself from the scars of what that's like. You
would
know?
Have to. It's like one of my dear friends, blonde haired, blue eyed, and, you know, around me and my friends and in all different places, and she's also Jewish, and people just assume, and she's Hispanic.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So people always assume, you know, that she's neither of those things.
Right.
And they'll make comments about that. And then to even top it off, she's got a daughter who's married to her husband, her wife, and they have biracial children. So, you know, here comes in the gay thing, and people just make these comments, and I'm just always walking on eggshells because when my stupid friends come over, I don't want to say, hey, don't say anything because she's Jewish, she's Hispanic, her daughter's a lesbian and married to an African-American woman, and I mean, wow.
Ignorance is bliss, and I can tell you when my kids were younger, they had a bonus sister who was raised in D.C., and they would come, and the neighbors would say, how's that your sister? It's amazing how smart we are.
Right, but how stupid
people
we are.
Yeah, people can't envision that, oh, well, maybe they came from different parents.
Right.
People going through divorce, blended families, remarriage, it's just unbelievable how insensitive, and people will ask kids, little kids, well, how are you related?
Yes.
I was recently asked, even when I said that, you know, my bonus daughter was my bonus daughter, they were like, how? How is she related to you? Like, an imposter question, like, did you paint yourself at a different time? We're related because my husband is her father.
Yeah.
You know, and I think also the shame of people not being forthright and honest. You don't uplift, and my granddaughter's writing about this, you know, uplift the fact that they are of two cultures. And I always tell my grandchildren, both of your cultures are equally important. If people see you as Black or African-American, that's perfectly fine. But don't forget, there's another piece of you. How can we find out about your grandmother? Like, we have these genealogy things that we've done. I can remember as a kid, and I tell people this all the time, I'm Catholic. And kids used to make fun of me and think, well, how are you Catholic? Black people aren't Catholic. And it made me feel horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom was an opera singer and a music teacher. And growing up in New Britain, they would think, well, how is that possible? And my great-grandmother was Indian and white. And they would say, you must have been adopted. And I felt like, you know, to explain all these things was
difficult.
And I can tell you, at one point, I thought I was adopted because my mom had freckles. And I did it, and my hair was kinky, and my mother's wasn't. So I thought, and my grandfather's eyes were green, and I thought, do I really belong in this family?
When are you going to tell me the truth?
But the stress that it puts on a kid, you know, I didn't want to be Catholic when I was growing up because I thought, you know, Black kids made fun of me. You're not Baptist. And so I thought, well, you had to fit in these certain circles. And it wasn't until I went to D.C. or L.A. to know, wow, there are Black Catholics. My mom's part of the Black Catholic organization.
She plays the organ.
She plays the organ. But again, the stress of what that's made makes a kid feel like. My father came on the President Kennedy airlift from Tanzania to Central Connecticut State University, along with like President Obama's dad and other fathers, other people that were brought from East Africa as a part of President Kennedy's educational program. And I remember thinking, as a Tanzanian being born in America, people think, well, you're African, where's your grass skirt? And I'd never been to Africa, so I felt like, okay, I only know New Britain. And it was difficult, so I'm
then
very
they say,
sensitive.
Where's your kielbasa?
Yeah.
Where's your pierogies?
So I'm very sensitive to kids that have that challenge and those dynamics. Yep. And I just try and talk about it. And I know my granddaughter said, used to always talk about race all the time, and I hated it. She said, but now I get it. And I had to talk about it to make her feel, I wanted to indoctrinate her to feel proud, or at least have the information. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the information, you only know what you hear.
Right.
And if you don't hear anything about the other side, you're going to feel ashamed of it, or maybe feel that something's wrong. Why aren't people saying something? Or why do certain people say things and not others? So I'm always about, let's talk about it. Let's embrace it. Let's you know, go out and enjoy it.
Yeah. We really have to. And I also have my fiance's grandson is biracial, too. And yet he's got a little slant to his eyes. And people will stop me at Target. What is he? I'm just curious. What is he? Is he Asian? Is he?
Yeah.
You know, oh, my God.
Well, how about they think I'm the nanny sometimes. They're like, is that your nanny? And I'll say, yeah, no, I don't like nanny. First of all, for me, I'm grandma. But they're not even saying nanny like, are you the grandma? They're like, are you the nanny of
like,
this
you're cleaning
kid?
The place up.
Yeah, and, you know, but it's been interesting. And that's why I encourage my grandkids to always talk about who they are, feel comfortable. And I'm proud that I am very vocal. And they do come to me. And I help other kids, too. And
yes,
I think that's what we have to do.
We do.
You have to talk about it.
lead by example. If leadership doesn't start from the top, what are we expecting our kids to figure out how to get through this? So anyways,
what a great
so
conversation
to be here with you today.
Oh, you got to look this lady up. Lisa and Kenoki, look for her on social media. I just love the way I love talking to you in the car for how many hours.
Yes.
And I loved our conversation today. And I'm sure that our listeners did, too. So, Lisa and Kenoki, thank you for being
thank
here.
Thank you so much. And your granddaughter is going to be a rock star because she has a grandmother that will talk about
absolutely
tough subjects. And that is the key to success. And the road to honesty is the best policy. Here you go.
Absolutely. We want to thank you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.